Last orders at the bar, please.
Welcome to Tavern Tales, a curated 5e Dungeons & Dragons adventure set in the Tales of the Yawning Portal campaign module by Wizards of the Coast.
This is the first episode of the second adventure, The Forge of Fury, from Tales from the Yawning Portal. It is a new group, a new tale, a whole new adventure, but the same players you've grown to love. So come check out our second chapter.
Come sit down and drink with the enemy, raise a glass and toast to the enemy, and I'm not gonna do this on my own. So come sit down and laugh with the enemy, raise a glass and sing to the enemy, and I'm not gonna do this on my own. So I won't end up being alone, 'cause I won't drink my drink alone. So what about you? One beer or two, I'll drink to you.
Hi, I'm Kyle, and welcome to the Forge of Fury. I have five lovely players around me, and they'll all introduce themselves in a moment, but we all got together briefly and discussed our characters and how they were all connected and tied together. And in order to make the Forge of Fury a much more epic and eventful dungeon delve and tale to be told, we have decided to tie all of the characters directly into the story itself, in specifically creating a band of dwarves hell-bent on redemption and revenge against those who laid their family members to waste 100 years ago and reclaimed the forge for their own purposes. Durget in the Black was the Stonehammer leader in the Forge of Fury. 100 years ago, it was leveled and taken over by orcs, and the Stonehammers were killed and scattered to the four corners. Durget in the Black's kid, child, Eldekar Stonehammer, lived and made her way out of the Forge of Fury, but nobody knows how or why. Well, they know why, but they don't really know how. She then had a couple of kids. Her first child she pushed forth from her loins is the wonderful character played by Chelsea. What a wonderful introduction. Why don't you tell us a bit about your character, Chelsea?
Tessikar Stonehammer is a dwarf who is 98 years old, and he's got white tufts of hair that gather up behind his ears and then explode. And then he's got this long, flowing white beard that's down to his knees.
Wait, if he's only 90-odd years old, not even 100, how is his hair all white everywhere?
Well, as a warlock, he made this pact where he sold his soul to gain some knowledge that released a unfortunate curse, which aged him considerably.
Which is interesting as well, because Tessikar has a sibling, correct?
Yes. My twin sister is Eldith, and I haven't seen her since I left the temple to go pursue a different god.
Who is playing Eldith?
That would be Paige.
Paige, why don't you tell us a little bit about Eldith?
Eldith, at one point, found that she didn't like the darkness within her family, and she kind of went the complete opposite and found a temple and a god and dragged her twin brother along with her, which obviously he did not appreciate. And so now they don't have the best relationship, which hopefully will be mended, because she likes to mend things and she likes to make things right. The god is Illmatter.
And your character is a cleric or?
Paladin.
Durget in the Black had three siblings. Durget in himself was not the eldest. The eldest was actually Borgol the Old. Literally, his claim to fame as a dwarf was becoming old. And he has a grandchild or a great-grandchild out there in the world. Who is playing that character?
That would be me, Aaron. Well, I'm playing Oscar Stonehammer, a dwarf rogue, an urban bounty hunter. He's got kind of a thin mustache, and it curls up at the sides. He's 75 years old, so he's still in the prime of life, obviously.
And does he have more than just a mustache? Does he have a beard too, or?
No, just a mustache. He's not really a beard kind of guy.
That's unique for male dwarf. Now, Oscar is currently running around with another player's character. Who is Oscar interacting with?
I'm running around with Tessikar.
I guess nodding doesn't work, does it?
No, nodding is not going to be effective. How did the two of you bump into each other?
We have been working together for a while.
And did you encounter each other on the streets of a city or town or out in the wilderness?
Well, when I left the temple, I was trying to find somewhere just to hunker down for a bit. And lovely Oscar is a cousin that I grew up with, and we always kind of got along, so I went and crashed at his place. Forcibly. He didn't really want me there, but he dealt with it.
Just went to Oscar's house.
Yeah.
You actually couldn't have grown up with him. You just knew he was a stone hammer that was nearby.
Scratch that part.
And he was a relative of yours, because you were a cloistered scholar, correct?
Right, yeah.
Which means you grew up in the convent away from all interactions with life.
Yeah.
Not too sure really why your guys' mother, Eldikar, put you both there. That might come up. So, the two of you have been getting up to no good ever since?
Yes.
Now, Dergedin was the second eldest, followed then by Garen Orkdoom. Do I have a descendant of Garen Orkdoom at the table?
I'm Allison. I'm playing Fogrum Stonehammer. He typically goes by Foggy. Foggy's a pretty interesting looking dwarf. He has a fiery red mohawk and a lovely fiery red beard to go with it and lovely braids. But he's also very pale and has kind of dark brown eyes. So he looks kind of interesting that way.
Does your character have a relationship with anybody at the table?
Yeah, me and Melusine. So I have a good friendship with my cousin Melusine.
We haven't encountered that character yet. So there is another sibling named Numic the Unlucky. That is the youngest sibling of Dergedin the Black. Numic the Unlucky had a grandchild or a child or a great-grandchild named...
I'm Marie Claire, and I'm playing Melusine Stonehammer. I have to do an arm movement with it. I consider the black part of the family to be bad luck, and I have black hair and black eyes normally, so I specifically go out of my way to not have those colors on me as much as possible. I change my hair color to a deep blue color. She's fairly average height for a dwarf, fairly average build. She keeps herself clean shaven, which is, you know, entirely optional with female dwarves. And she is an entertainer, a bard, one of tales, one of songs, and one of poetry. A little bit of fire eating too, just to throw it in.
There is one last important thing that came up as a result of this character creation process and how all of these characters interacted and engaged with each other. And that was that Dergedin the Black had an item, an artifact, that was the Stonehammer's right to rule. And that item was determined to be a gauntlet. The players determined that it was a magical gauntlet and has been placed in a giant diamond chest, and that the chest is trapped in the heart of the mountain in a hardened flow of lava and can only be opened by one who is descended from Dergedin's blood and who recites a blood oath in Dwarven as their palm bleeds onto the diamond chest. It is told in legend that the chest is buried in the rib cage of a dead lava dragon. Now, how much of that is truth and how much of that is tales told these children by their parents as they grew up remains to be seen. With this established and everyone's need and desire to one day return there, I will begin the game. The Yawning Portal is a busy, bustling place this evening. There's hardly a free chair, and all of the tables have groups of laughing and carousing patrons. A large number of empty steins are being picked up by industrious employees, careful of their backsides and the pinching hands of certain regulars. Eric, The sun elf server stifles a yelp, but does not manage to cool his look as he rubs his bottom savagely while balancing a heavy tray of goblets of elven wine. A storyteller failed to really capture anyone's attention with an elaborate tale with little excitement and next to no action. And as he vacates the stage in front of the unlit hearth, an older lady in a pink dress and matching pink three-quarter length jacket with a cute matching fascinator hat steps to the stage and smiles benignly at the gathered patrons. And in a moment of silence, she speaks.
Hello, and good evening to all of you. Many years ago, my father took this stage and told this tale in its entirety. Today is an especial occasion, as it is the anniversary of his death 5 years ago. In commemoration of his life and of his favorite story, I would like to share with you the tale of the Stonehammers and the Forge of Fury. I very much hope that you will enjoy the tale that is to come, as it has brought me delight and entertainment in hearing it from my father from when I was so very young. So allow me to begin, as my father did, with the vision. He stood upon a battlement, on watch in the dead of night, when the spectral form of his grandfather appeared before him. A black shadow lies over my heart, my treasure, the gauntlet of the Stonehammers. It must be reclaimed. Only a Stonehammer can do this. 5 fingers make the fist, 5 Stonehammers it will take. 5 levels to descend, 5 choices must thou make. Find the tooth of stone, to the summit you must climb. A finger of smoke will then be shown. That is the end of my rhyme. There are many ways to enter our hidden redoubt, as the orcs and then trogs proved so well, so long ago. Take care, and attend well to the warning of the dwarven statues of your forebears. And it is at that point the vision receded.
And as we peek into the adventure itself, we find our 5 characters still spread out and split up. And the storyteller begins the tale of how Foggy and Melusine are arrested by the Lord of Blazing Dell, parceled up in chains, taken out to the crossroads, and hung in cages to die. And genuine laughter is, of course, perfectly fine. If you guys feel like laughing, just actually laugh. But Tessikar has been visited by the voice and ghostly frame of his grandfather, Durgeddon the Black, who stood upon the battlements and who, with all of his ghostly ancestral power and regal being, informed him of his required duty to bring about the redemption of the Stonehammer clan. And while Tessikar, at first, did not want to go and reclaim the gauntlet, the great old one has voiced in the way of great beings that are outside the mortal ken the powerful image of this gauntlet upon Tessikar's hand, and how the fist of Tessikar will enact with the gauntlet of the Stonehammers much of the great old one's desires upon this world, should you bear it. It leads to double meaning for Tessikar. So both personal power and familial vengeance. So you've rounded up Oscar to go on this mission, to leave here, to go to the town of Blazing Dell, where you will learn what you need to know. And how have you convinced Oscar to do this?
Oscar! Hey, Oscar! Got a message from old granddaddy!
Keep it down, will ya? It's 2 in the morning.
Oscar!
What?
Got a message! We have to go find the gauntlet of the Stonehammers!
What do we need to find a cup for?
Not a goblet! A gauntlet!
Oh, a gauntlet. Why?
Something about fulfilling our legacy or... Something like that.
I don't really got anything else to do, so I guess we can go.
Well, I guess that's two of the five fingers.
And with that, you promptly left the village you were in. Melusine and Foggy are in separate cages, kitty corner to each other, in the crossroads leading up to Blazing Dell. What do they talk about?
I think that Melusine is actually trying to see the positive side of this. Like, you know, it's...
Go for it.
It's like, you know, I've never been in a cage before. I feel like this could be a tale to tell people. You could probably craft something to ward against this for others in the future. And she's just, you know, waxing long about, you know, all of the lessons to be learned. Like,
okay, can you do that?
Oh, sure. You know, Foggy, there's a lot to be learned about this whole situation. Generally, you are judged by the company that you keep.
What are you trying to say?
I'm just saying that, you know, we sort of ended up in this situation because people misinterpreted that because I was singing a bad song about Baron Elthin, that you and I happened to having the same name. We're working together. And I feel like there might be some sort of wisdom or tale that could help the younger generation, help them find their truth and inspire them to not end up in a cage.
Well, Melusine pontificates at length. Hours go by for poor Fogrim.
I'm sorry, what?
What were you talking for hours?
No, sorry. Yeah, no, I was talking for hours like that.
Yeah, I don't doubt. Poor Fogrim.
Yeah.
And Eldeth has been released from her acolyte scholarship. And as a proper paladin of ill matter, you have been directed to go out into the world, slap people around with his redeeming hand. So, Eldeth, do you have a horse or a donkey or a mule or a shaggy little village pony, or are you on your bare feet?
I actually have a really big dog.
Okay.
Because I'm kind of small for a dwarf. I think my growth was stunted, probably because of my brother's magic that he secretly hid. But yes, I have a really big dog.
You ride a really big dog. What's the name of the dog?
Rocka.
Better write that down.
Rocka, the large, shaggy sheepdog.
Exactly.
Yeah, a little medicine barrel right there in his collar. Right?
Aww.
Big St. Bernard style dog. Carries you out into the world. You don't have any direction. You're just setting one foot in front of the other. Your meager possessions and supplies. And you don't really know where you're going. And you've been traveling for about 3 weeks. You're coming up on the end of your supplies, and you feel that the town of Blazing Dell, which is located on a convenient map you have, might have such supplies for you. It does not take you long, Oscar and Tessikar, to get to the town of Blazing Dell. In fact, you were just one village over. This is now a return for Oscar. He's never really been anywhere other than these two towns before. How does he feel about that?
Oscar feels good. Feels like home. Because it is probably home.
Yeah, it's a carbon copy town. Literally, it's a sim drop of one village and the next. Literally, the streets are laid out the same.
Perfect.
They both have monorails. Just like North Haverbrook.
What about Ogdenville?
Yeah. Unfortunately, it was wiped out in the spell plague of Ought 3.
Great, now I have the monorail song stuck
in
my
head. I have it too.
The damn aughts. You come, the two of you, upon the crossroads. And Oscar, you know these crossroads so very well because you've never taken the path to the north or the path to the south. You've always moved from east to west, never wondering what lays upon those other directions. And coming from the south, you see a shaggy dog and a small figure in what sort of armor?
Chainmail
armor flashing in the brilliant Sunday light. Sunday, sure, it's a Sunday. In the summer Sunday light, you see a dog carrying a small person on it. Not too small, about Oscar height. And as usual, Baron Althon, the dick of Blazing Dell.
Yeah.
Yeah. Agreed.
Has prisoners hanging at the crossroads.
The dick of Blazing Dell.
And that was the song that got Melusine locked up and then sent out to the crossroads to be imprisoned there for a week because no one should be allowed from the stocks in town and from the prison in town to continue to sing the song that Melusine would not stop singing.
The dick of Blazing Dell.
And getting all of the other prisoners to sing along as well.
Dick, 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 dick. Dick Blazing Dell, the dick. Dick, 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 dick Blazing Dell, the dick.
And we all know how that song ends, right?
Oh yeah, he sucks.
It's not a great song.
No, but it's no, just
that song
it's
ended
so
up.
Catchy,
it's just a bit
so
prematurely.
That was good.
That was great. Eldith, you're heading north. You're coming upon a crossroad. You see two figures, look kind of dwarven, walking westwards. And you see a couple of cages for some reason that look to have figures occupying the cages. Foggy, you're trying desperately to tune out your cousin, who has not stopped talking since you were both hung up here. But you do hear a commotion of figures that seem to be moving towards the crossroads where all of these people will all interact with all at the same time. But they all hear Melusine's voice mid conversation. And Chelsea, what is Melusine talking about right now?
What is Melusine talking about?
Yeah, what's the topic?
She is talking about how many bastard children the Duke Dick has.
Yep, go on.
So I really thought that Timmy was one of the bastard children, mm-hmm. but then I went and found out that he was actually legit. Don't ask that story. It was really weird. I had to sneak into this place and talk to these people, mm-hmm. and it ended up being really weird.
And as the three of you approach, this mellifluous, charismatic voice carries out completely unintelligible conversation to you about somebody named Timmy that they snuck. It really, it's not even fun to listen to. As you hear issued forth from within the cage, a meeting happens under 3 o'clock in the afternoon sun by five dwarves at a crossroads outside of the town of Blazing Dell. As these three figures, Eldeth, Tessikar and Oscar all interact and engage because they all enter the crossroads at the same time. Begin.
Tessikar? Is that you?
Eldeth. Oh. Hi.
Wow. You look really old.
Yeah, it kind of happens sometimes.
Did you have a spell backfire again?
Kate, that was only once.
I'm going to take that as a yes.
Okay, well, why are you always doing that? Always doubting my magic.
Because you're a prime example of it.
Well, it's not very nice.
Who are these other people?
Oh, that's your cousin Oscar.
What are you riding a dog for?
Why not? I mean, it's cute and it's fluffy and it can hold my weight.
But it's a dog. You couldn't ride a horse or something? Even a cow would have been better.
I can't even get on top of a horse.
And despite calling into question the primal elements of their characters right from the get-go, everyone becomes fast and good friends immediately, because they are all family, and blood runs thicker than water, so they say.
But not thicker than gold.
Shut up. Can you get us out of here? You're just leaving us inside cages. This is ridiculous.
Be careful, he might turn you into a turtle. He's not very good with his magic.
Foggy, just remember, the biggest cage is...
Oh! Just stop! Enough!
Oh my gosh! By the old gray one! Five! Five fingers! There's five fingers! Five!
Yeah, you're really excited about that. I don't know why.
Tessikar has an epileptic fit, it seems, in the middle of the crossroads.
Booyah!
But I will point out that you all recognize each other. You all recognize the nose of the Stonehammer clan, which is a common feature on all five of you. Aaron, can you just describe the nose of the Stonehammer clan, please?
It's pointed downward.
I think we should all get a picture like this. Time.
Just points straight down?
It's pointed straight down, and there is a small wart on the left nostril.
Only on yours. All have warts?
Yes, everyone has a wart. Bump. We'll say yes to the offer of the wart, yes. But we can call it a bump. There's a nodule on the nose. It's not necessarily brown in color. It is a feature and distinctive element of the Stonehammer nose. And it looks literally like someone's pushing a finger against their nose.
Yes.
Perfect. A Stonehammer nose, as codified and established in podcast form.
It's like we got beaks or something.
Or one of the Stonehammers accidentally got a really bad boop.
Boop on our snoot.
Severe booping.
Yeah, it's called the boop from Thor.
I think it's like instead of getting circumcised, Stonehammers get the boop when they're babies.
They nip the tip.
Nice.
You are now a Stonehammer.
Nip.
Nip.
Wow. Well, boop your snoot. No one knows how it happens or what it is, but that's the way of it. Maybe it was actually the original Stonehammer was booped by Thor.
By somebody that was...
And that's really just a nipped tip.
Boop.
Well, it's all convenient that we're here because I got us a job we can do.
I know that it's up to our own selves to free ourselves from our mental cages.
Don't worry,
cages,
I'll get you out of your cage.
But it would be appreciated. Gosh. Thank you.
Yeah, that should be the first job is out of this. That'd be great.
One
Please.
Second, let me look at my spell list. Oh, wait, you're a rogue.
How high are the cages off the ground?
Roll a d10.
Can he stand on my shoulders?
He probably can.
8.
They are 8 feet off the ground. Oh.
Hey, I'm 4'2".
Okay, so we're halfway there. So
no, you're in
the
same.
That's the base of it, though,
you
right?
You stand on my shoulders.
You also have a spell, I do believe. A cantrip.
Oh wait,
Aaron, what's 4 plus 4?
8.
And how many of you are there?
2.
So if you stand on someone who's 4.2 feet, how tall does that make you in total?
3.8.
You got shorter?
Apparently I got
He's
shorter.
Negative height.
I lost a
We're
couple
slightly
inches.
More than
I
halfway
lost
there.
A couple inches with my math.
Oscar eventually figures out that if he does climb up onto Tessikar's shoulders, he can reach the bottom of the cage. And Tessikar can shoulder that weight pretty easily with your what strength?
10.
10 strength. That's reasonable. I'm not going to require an athletics check because the DC would be like 3 or so. So Oscar, make a check to unlock the cage because there is a lock on the cage.
Like a dex?
It's actually a thieves' tools check, so you'll use your proficiency bonus plus your dexterity to attempt to unlock it.
Oh boy! Hey, guidance!
Yeah, you can cast guidance. Can you tell me what you say to the great old one to get the guidance for Oscar?
Yo, Geo! Help him unlock this, please!
Okay.
With a 2!
Yeah.
So it's a 17 total.
Absolutely. You only need the 15... You did not require the help of the great old one in this instance, although you feel the touch of one of his appendages upon the back of your neck.
Ooh.
Some spiritual way to assist you in unlocking the thing. The cage falls open immediately, knocking you off of Tessikar's shoulders, sprawling you in the dirt from the cage itself, as Melusine falls less than 10 feet, so you don't take any damage, but
Whoa.
You sprawl as well, on top of Oscar in the dirt, and then Tessikar falls down as well, and the three of you are laying there, a mess.
Thank you for catching me.
Eldith, what are you up to?
I'm just watching in entertainment.
You have not heard this great old one comment before, though, from Tessikar. How does that make Eldith feel when Tessikar calls upon a power that is neither godly nor demonic, but of some alternate plane?
I think she ends up feeling really confused because he didn't call out the name that we had both been taught and swore an oath to.
Okay. Oscar picks himself up from the dirt. Tessikar gets up as well. And Melusine stands there. And what do the three of you say?
It's such interesting times.
Okay, right. Let's get the next cage.
Can we do a little better than that one at all? Is that possible? No.
Does prestidigitation work?
I don't know. You could try.
I'd just rather not topple on top of you.
Yeah, I'd prefer that too.
Foggy, sometimes we have to fall to learn to pick ourselves up.
Oh my God.
Okay, I'm sorry. We should have got you out first.
What about phantasmal force?
What does it do?
Oh, never mind. It's an illusion. I can make you think it's open.
Fantastic!
Guys, I'm floating in the air.
That'd Yay! Be funny. Is it hanging from a tree?
The big poles that are set up and buried into the ground that are quite thick, big maple pole type things that rise up into the air and hold the cages.
I try climbing up the pole and hammering the lock off?
The lock is at the bottom of the cage. You'd have to climb the 16 feet up into the air to climb the pole, clamber across, climb down, get onto the cage, and then, you know, cut the chain. You could do that for sure, or do something along those lines. What would you like to do?
If I cut the chain, you're falling.
Yeah, same deal. But at least I'm not onto people. I could deal, that's not as bad. Oh,
okay, then right? I'm going to do that.
Okay, make an athletics check to climb the maypole. Yeah, I'm afraid with the die roll I see in front of me, you did not manage to climb to the top of the pole very easily, and you slid down.
Well, I technically got a 7. Does that count?
7 is not enough. You needed a 10 in order to get up to the top of that.
I have this crazy idea that I try to break myself out.
Go for it.
How much space do I have over top of me? How big is the cage, roughly?
You have about 1.5 feet at the top of your character's height.
I'm either thinking of just jumping up and down in rage.
You have definitely already tried to do that.
Yeah.
And failed earlier. You need about a DC 30 to break the cage lock.
Can't we just do what we did last time?
Exactly.
Hey, get on my shoulders again, pipsqueak.
Fine. I'll get on your shoulders again.
Oh, boy. Tessikar stands slightly not directly under the cage this time, but off to the side.
What an idea.
As to not I'll
stand under the cage and arms. No,
that's, you don't have to.
Arms I feel
to
like
catch.
You should.
No, I feel like no.
You don't want to squish them after that?
No, I don't.
Okay,
no.
I'll back up. I would catch you.
No. No.
We could turn it into, practice our lifts.
I'm good. Good.
Foggy doesn't really get a choice, Melusine.
Okay, I'm going to stand there.
Foggy's going to fall either way, unless Foggy's holding the bars and the cage door opens. Oh. I'm not falling on you.
Now I'm going to freaking try. It's going to be hard. My arms are pretty long.
No, they're not. So it's going to be hard. But you probably do it. So let's make the check to unlock the gate. You're going to do guidance for this one?
Guidance.
Okay.
4. He needed it.
Yeah, I needed it.
What was the total you got?
16.
This time, the great old one's caress is long and lingering.
Is it above the border or below the border?
It is. It's in your soul. So
below.
Still.
Has nothing to do with borders, really, does it? He's got a passport now.
Oh. Great.
The lock falls free. Beautifully, perfectly, as the great old one has granted his benevolence upon Oscar. And you guys hop down from each other's legs, not getting hit by the cage door this time, because you stood on the other side of it. Melusine almost gets hit by the door, though. And Fogrim attempts to hold on to dear life and not fall. All right. Make just a regular strength athletics check.
18.
You hang in the cage. So are you hanging with your arms or are you pressed hands and feet against the sides of the cage?
No, I was just going to grab with my hands.
Okay.
And then kind of swing myself so that I don't land on anybody.
Well, you definitely can't swing yourself. All you're doing right now is ensuring you don't fall out of the cage.
Oh, I was thinking like as I fell, I would grab something. Yeah, like a grapple almost, right?
What are you going to try to grab?
The hanging part of the cage, the door. Like what used to be the floor.
Door would be out of.
Couldn't grab
so the
it.
Door is here.
Yeah.
And you're going to fall and grab what part of the door? What's the height of your character?
He's 4'7".
You're 4'7"? I thought you were going to try to hold on to not fall out of the cage.
Mel's still going to try to catch me.
Exactly.
This is an issue.
So you fall free. You grab onto the door of the cage. That is more of a dexterity acrobatics check than a strength athletics check.
Mm-hmm.
Could you roll that?
16.
Yeah, that's enough. You grab the door itself, the outer edge of the hinge, and swing back and forth on that. Melusine, can you roll a dodge to not get kicked in the face?
Oh, fail! Oh, a 3.
You fail. You get kicked in the face by Fogrim as he madly lunges back and forth. Fogrim, roll damage, please.
Oh, sorry.
It's okay. I'm really trying to play up this unlucky.
So it's a D4 plus your strength bonus.
Oh.
Nine.
Of course.
I'm sorry.
Nine, damn it.
It was like a swift boot to the face.
Yeah, Melusine like falls backwards and lays just in the dirt and just like lays there.
This concludes this episode of Tavern Tales, a curated Dungeons & Dragons 5e game set in the Tales of the Yawning Portal adventure module by Wizards of the Coast. Our intro and outro music is the song Tavern Tales by the Bad Billy Band. You can find out more about the Bad Billy Band on iTunes or at www.badbillyband.com or follow them on Twitter at Bad Billy Band. Thanks for listening. Please feel free to leave us a review on iTunes or find us on Twitter at Tavern_Tales. We'll be back next week with more of the adventure.